ज्ञान के भर भाल पर, तन के भर भाल पर विराज रहा मैं, तन के भर भाल पर विराज रहा मैं, खोल पुतलियों के पट हो, खोल पुतलियों के पट निहार रहा मैं, निहार रहा मैं, तन के भग भाल पर विराज रहा मैं, खोल पुतलियों के पट हो, खोल पुतलियों के पट निहार रहा मैं, निहार रहा मैं, तन के भग भाल पर शक्तिवान हूँ, दिव्य ज्योति बिंदु हूँ, मैं शिव पिता समान हूँ, मैं प्रकाश पुंज हूँ, अनंत शक्तिवान हूँ, दिव्य ज्योति बिंदु हूँ, मैं शिव पिता समान हूँ, सृष्टि का श्रृंगार हूँ, इस जगत का तार हूँ, सृष्टि का श्रृंगार हूँ, इस जगत का तार हूँ, योनियों में श्रेष्ठ मानव जन्म का आधार हूँ, प्राण धरे तन में संचार रहा मैं, तन के भव्य भाल पर विराज रहा मैं, खोल पुतलियों के पट हो, खोल पुतलियों के पट निहार रहा मैं, निहार रहा मैं, तन के भग भाल पर विराज रहा मैं। धरती का सितारा हूँ, देह का उजाला हूँ, सर्व का सहारा हूँ, मैं शिव पिता का प्यारा हूँ, धरती का सितारा हूँ, देह का उजाला हूँ, सर्व का सहारा, मैं शिव पिता का प्यारा हूँ, न्यारा हूँ, निराला हूँ, प्रसन्न चित्त वाला हूँ, न्यारा हूँ, निराला हूँ, प्रसन्न चित्त वाला हूँ, न्यारा हूँ तो प्यारा भी हूँ, शीतल हूँ, ज्वाला हूँ, दिव्य गुण से निज को नित निखार रहा मैं, तन के भग भाल पर विराज रहा मैं, खोल पुतलियों के पट हो, खोल पुतलियों के पट निहार रहा मैं, निहार रहा मैं, तन के भग भाल पर विराज रहा मैं। दूर हर नशे मगर एक नशे में चूर हूँ, मैं खुदाई नूर हूँ, चैतन्य को ही नूर हूँ, दूर हर नशे मगर एक नशे में चूर हूँ, मैं खुदाई नूर हूँ, चैतन्य को ही नूर हूँ, खुशियों से भरपूर दिल में रखे ये गरूर, खुशियों से भरपूर दिल में रखे ये गरूर, ठान लूँ जो चाहूँ तो कर सकता जरूर हूँ, संग शिव के स्वर्ग भू पे ला रहा हूँ मैं, तन के भग भाल पर विराज रहा मैं, खोल पुतलियों के पट हो, खोल पुतलियों के पट निहार रहा मैं, निहार रहा मैं, तन के भग भाल
भाल पर विराज रहा मैं, तन के भव्य भाल पर विराज रहा मैं।
Eight deals with three subjects. One is women's empowerment, the other is overcoming addiction, and the third is environmental issues. And it's called Values in Society. Now, this subject of addiction is a problem that arises directly from what's called the dysfunctional family system. And if you remember from yesterday, we identified four areas that are unknown as reasons why we have a crisis in values. And one of them is what we call the authoritarian, patriarchal, dysfunctional social system. And it produces addiction. The society that Baba is creating, or the culture that Baba is creating, is represented by the figures of Lakshmi and Narayan, a man and woman standing next to each other in a complementary relationship. In the dysfunctional patriarchal system, the man is on top and the woman is on the bottom, and so it's an unequal relationship, or a relationship that is non-complementary. In the dysfunctional family, there is a lot of violence and there's a lot of authoritarian interaction, and it's pretty much the main characteristic of the Kali Yugi world, is this kind of society. And there's a lot of suffering in a dysfunctional family system, and the suffering begins before you are born. It begins in the womb, because the child in the womb is affected by whatever is happening to the mother. And the attitude of people to the unborn child is also affecting the child. When a child is born, or nowadays because of sonography, we don't need to wait for the child to be born, but the main question people want to know is, what is it? And what they mean by what is it a boy or is it a girl? In other words, a boy or a girl is a what, not a who. Nobody asks the question, who has come? Is it? Yeah. Because the person who is getting born, he used to be in another body, most likely older than the parents. You know, people don't think about that. In spirituality, we get so much information that we change this idea of a what into a who, you see. And so we need to understand how Baba is changing the dysfunctional family into a functional family. And I think it's also quite relevant to see that when we come in Gyan, we bring different elements of dysfunctionality from our Kali Yugi experience into the confluence age. And so it's very normal for there to be a number of dysfunctional attributes within the Brahman world. And so one aspect of the confluence age is to settle karmic accounts, and another very important aspect is to identify where and how we have collectively created different varieties of dysfunctionality, then what we have to do and how do we have to change that from dysfunctional to functional. So this is a very important part of our work within our own interaction within centers, because a center is a family. And when you stay in a center, then you have to live with some brothers and sisters, some who are already there, and then you come and join them, and then you may be already there and some other ones come and join, and some who are there may get transferred to somewhere else, you see. So there's a certain amount of movement within centers, and also we are divided into zones and subzones and different territories and so on and so forth. And in all of these things, we experience a combination of karmic accounts getting settled, karmic accounts getting created, and different forms of dysfunctionality getting imported, which create varieties of confusions and sufferings and so on and so forth. And all of these things are very necessary because they are our exams. And we need to have as much information as possible to be able to discern what exactly are we dealing with and what are the different ways in which we can handle these and how to become skilled in the different methods of handling different varieties of dysfunctionality. Because you can only become functional by handling the dysfunctionalities with great skill. And when you have that skill, that is part of what it means to be Sola Kala Sampuran, these celestial arts, you understand? So sometimes when people within centers experience something or other to be dysfunctional, they become paralyzed, they become confused, they go into denial, they get addictive behavior. Whatever happens in a lokic dysfunctional family also happens in an alokic dysfunctional family. That's perfectly normal and perfectly appropriate. Because unless you learn what it is, how it works, and what are the hidden forces that are operating, you'll not be able to develop the skills to become a functional family or the ideal family of the Golden Age. So I think one of the interesting differences between Gyan and Sannyas is this whole question of the family, you see. And the society or civilization that Baba is creating is called Pavitra Grahast Ashram. And in a dysfunctional family, the main force that makes it dysfunctional is sexuality, and especially the repressed sexuality. You see? And so you need to know what that is and how that works, and how this repression of the sexuality takes the form of violence. And it can be between men and men, between men and women, between women and women. And we need to understand it so that we do not become influenced by it or affected by it. And our yoga is for the purpose of neutralizing it. And there was one murli not very long ago in which Baba described this in quite an interesting way. And he said that the fire of lust is the heat in which the the vices could enter the soul. And the fire of yoga is the heat in which the alloy can come out of the soul. I don't know if you remember, a few months ago Baba had described this. So not only do we have to practice celibacy, but we also need to know the A to Z of purity and impurity. Otherwise, impurity will create some or another kind of dysfunctionality which we will not be able to manage. I see. And so this plays a very big role in substance abuse. Sexuality is itself an addiction. I see. Eating, when it is taken to excess, is an addiction. Many people, especially women, when they experience pressure or stress, they will eat. Because when you eat, especially if you eat toli, makes you feel better. But if you eat toli when you're not hungry, then you don't need it. So it will increase your weight. And then, how many BKs have a sugar problem? ¿80%? ¿90%? So that is also something. It's very common in our ways that if somebody doesn't or feels upset, totally cow. Right? In other words, we train each other to be addicts. I was talking about young children under the stress of a dysfunctional family and the pressure of school expectations, exams. The parents train them to be psychologically dependent on television. Watching TV when you don't want to see a particular show is an addiction. Alcohol is the most highly used substance, and so this particular presentation talks quite a lot about alcohol, and there is a very high degree of alcohol use and abuse in India, and so we need to understand about that. Because even if you yourselves are not drinking alcohol, people will come into your center who are drinking alcohol. And you need to know how to handle people who are addicts. Because there's a lot of them. Violence of particular kinds is also addictive. If parents beat their children regularly, that's an addiction. If husbands beat their wives regularly, that's an addiction. You have people who will do service more than necessary. That's an addiction. Baba spoke to us about it this morning. That if you do service late and you miss your Amrit Vela, then you didn't benefit. Why does a person do service late? Beyond limit, an addiction. Anything that is done beyond limit, in spite of negative consequences, is an addiction. sleeping beyond limit is an addiction. You may find this in center. Somebody gets upset, they've got to sleep. Right? You just jump in the bed and Om Shanti, see you tomorrow. That's an addiction. So addiction is an emotional inability to face reality. And in order to succeed in avoiding facing reality, you do something else instead, in spite of negative consequences. So what we find is that there's a very, very large percentage of people addicted to something. And almost all people who have had 84 births are addicts. One kind or another. Because addiction is a symptom of spiritual emptiness. So anyone who has had 84 births, in comparison with your stage in the golden age, your present stage is very, very empty. And so you will find within BKs a combination of sanskaras that are very often impossible to live with. Because you have a lot of charity, a lot of bhakti, a lot of repressed anger, repressed sexuality, a lot of greed, a lot of fear, a lot of all sorts of things, all mixed. And then all these universes of sanskaras trying to live with each other in harmony, impossible. But Baba says, oh, you can have 15 such universes, live together happily. Why not? And you say, yes, okay, why not? And then you get surprised. Why is it difficult? It's not surprising. It's very normal. Then the test, you know, the work, how to harmonize these things that are not possible to harmonize. We have to do it, and that by itself right there is the proof that there is God. Because if not, there is Mahabharata. You see. And whenever we have Mahabharata among ourselves, it is because the yoga is down, because of the addiction. We use the addiction instead of the yoga. Yeah? And so I think this is a lot to do with why Baba's been saying yoga, 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 must have yoga, must have yoga. And Maya says, don't have yoga, don't have yoga, don't have yoga. Don't have yoga. You don't need yoga, service, and all these things. Okay, so we'll go through this. And the way that this is described applies to the normal locked world, but it's very useful to take different parts of it and see how it has any relevance in your own personal experience, because that will allow you to move through something that may otherwise be a little more difficult. So first of all, the definition. What is addiction? Basically, any behavior, even if somebody's sitting in meditation too much, but they're not getting spiritual, that's an addiction. Any behavior that is used to manage feelings and which continues in spite of adverse consequences. Many factors contribute to it, which may be genetic, familial, social, medical, economic, and even peer pressure. One of the problems of hospitals and doctors, especially in India, is they overprescribe. And I think it's about 40% of deaths is because of medicine, not because of the illness, which is a very high percentage. And because of that, in the West at least, more and more people are moving towards homeopathy, Ayurveda, exercise, meditation, whatever, and forget about medicine because it's poison. Allopathic medicine cuts, burns, and poisons. What is chemotherapy? Radiation therapy, surgery. Cut, burn, and poison. So every time you take any of that kind of medicine, you have to repair your body from the negative effects of the medicine. And if you don't do that, your body gets weakened, you see. And so, you know, in Western countries, they're very, very fussy. In India, you eat anything what the doctor gives you, but you should be very careful. Because there is a tradition here of, you know, you take a big hammer to take out a cockroach. So there are four main categories of liquor produced and consumed in India. One of them is the country liquor or arak. It has various different names. This is an unrefined distilled spirit generally made from locally available cheap raw materials like sugarcane, rice and coconuts. I don't know what you call it here in Tamil, in Andhra, but Andhra Pradesh has one of the highest use of alcohol in India, highest. And then we have another thing called Indian-made foreign liquor. And that is things like whiskey, gin and rum, which are made in the big distilleries and they have a fixed amount of alcohol, 42.8% of the volume. The unrefined other liquors, it could be anything from 90% to 5%. You never know what you're getting. Another one is beer, which is any alcoholic drink fermented from grain. And there's also wine. And then we have toddy, which is the fermented palm liquor, and which is also home brewed. So these are the four kinds of liquor that you get. And a couple of statistics about India. The alcohol use is rising fastest among developing countries. So India is considered as a developing country. And significant growth was recorded for the decade after the 1992 trade liberalization. And so you can see recorded sales of spirits in that period increased by 170%. And state-level studies suggest a strong link between alcohol taxes and consumption with crime, violence, and alcohol-related illnesses, right? So the problem with alcohol is it increases your tendency to violence and it decreases your ability to control yourself. Also bad for your health because it destroys your liver. In India, a lot of states reversed the laws of prohibition because of loss of revenue. For example, in Haryana, there was prohibition between 1996 and 99, and the state treasury became practically bankrupt. In other words, if people don't drink, the government suffers. And that means the government has no reason to discourage people from drinking, no reason at all. Now, during this period, February 2006, I was in Chennai. In the newspaper, it said this, that 70% of the 900 life convicts in Tamil Nadu are first-time murderers, and out of these, 500 landed in jail for brutally killing their wives, mostly in a state of rage under the influence of alcohol. That means the children have no father, he's in jail, no mother, she's dead. They're orphans. And so they're at the mercy of the street gangs. 4 murders and 3 attempts to murder are registered every hour, only in Coimbatore, which is a normal small town. Not so big. 32,716 murders in Coimbatore only in 2003. That's too much, no? If you want to keep down the population, it's okay. So, pattern of alcohol consumption in India. About 12% of all households in India use alcohol. That's quite high. And that's the lowest is in Gujarat, which is supposed to be 0, but it's 4%. And the highest is in Andhra Pradesh, which is here, right? We're in Andhra Pradesh. So it means you are likely to encounter people who are drunk or who drink. If it's a female-headed household, it's much less. And the meaning of a female-headed household is that the woman is the principal wage earner and she decides how the money is spent. So what we find in India is female-headed households are much more financially responsible, and so Baba put females in the head of the PK households. Male-headed households tends to be 13% of use of alcohol. The highest is the laborers and farmers, then the service production workers, and the average quantity per consumer, 10 liters per month of alcohol. That's 1 liter, one of those big bottles of Bisleri, every 3 days. And then in Andhra Pradesh, 20% of families. In Sri Lanka, 1/3 of family income is used on alcohol. So whatever the husband brings, take out 30% and throw it in the garbage. Because you can only have... And men, you see in India, men drink alcohol, women don't very much because of the social taboo. Otherwise in other countries it's about equal, men and women. So you see the increase of people hospitalized. Alcohol psychosis, you know what that is? Alcohol psychosis is you go mad because of the poisonous effect of alcohol. And so if you happen to be married to somebody who's mad and drinking, you're in trouble. In trouble. Your children are in trouble. And then driving under the influence of alcohol, a big increase of 15% in 3 years. So you have large numbers of people who die because somebody else is driving badly. And in India, the policing of this kind of thing is very less. You can give a bribe or people don't much bother. Most of the truck drivers most of the time are drunk. Because they have a deep belief that if you don't drink you can't drive. Which is totally the other way, you know. Actually if you do drink you can't drive. But so that means if you're driving you have to be very careful. We've seen recently somebody was driving drunk and they drove over all the people who were sleeping on the pavement. So you get cartoons of people saying it's safer to sleep in the middle of the road. This is a picture. Behind these words is a picture of a liquor store just on the opposite of the street from Shantivan. As you cross the border from Gujarat into Rajasthan, you have dozens of liquor stores, dozens. And Abu Road is full with liquor stores, and all the hotels in Mount Abu are existing first and foremost so people can go and get drunk. And so when Brahma Kumaris are encouraged to not walk around Nucky Lake after 9 o'clock at night, it's because the other people are drunk and they may be rude to you in a variety of ways, or they may be violent. And so the thing is, alcohol abuse and dependency are aggravated by this very easy availability of liquor. And the mass media is free to publicize and glorify the use of alcohol. See, all those children who are watching TV, they see advertisements that tell them, drink this and you will be happy. And so they start doing that. And you get a lot of young children about the age of 8 or 9 who the liquor stores don't mind selling to, and they can't study, and they become alcoholics, you know, by the age of 15 or 16. And it's the end of their life. And the liquor shops, they open beyond the opening hours. So how does this affect the family? The family earner spends a significant proportion of the family earnings on alcohol, which means the family doesn't get basic necessities like food, education, transportation, and the financial deprivation is a further abuse of the wife and family. So one thing is they're violent, they're incoherent, they're crazy, and they don't give you money to live. So addiction being any behavior used to manage feelings can apply to a number of things, including overeating, gambling, smoking, any activity taken to extreme, sexual overindulgence, wife beating, pedophilia, which is sexual molestation of young children, and also continuous verbal and physical abuse. Now, it is common to hear an alcoholic defend his habit, saying, well, I'm not lying in the gutter, so I'm not an alcoholic. You know, because it's illegal, people think there's nothing wrong with it. And the only reason it's legal is because people make money out of it. The sellers make money, the shopkeepers make money, and the government makes money. And Gandhi wanted to take out alcohol from India, but the people didn't prefer that because it's a loss of money. So the alcoholic will say, well, I'm not drinking during the day, I'm not neglecting my work, or various excuses, and therefore I'm not addicted. The behavior, addictive behavior of Indian people is no different from addicts in any other country. But in India, the difference is alcohol addiction is far more prevalent in men. Alcohol is a central nervous depressant. So if you feel bad, sad, upset, anxious, drink alcohol, you'll feel better because it depresses those feelings. But what it also does is it removes the inhibitions that control the sexual and aggressive impulses. And dependence on alcohol manifests as a constant craving. You cannot stay away from it for a single day, and you're constantly preoccupied with thoughts of alcohol, searching for and acquiring it at any time, day or night. So it becomes your religion, your wife, your lover, your mother, your father, your child, everything. And so the effects of alcohol consumption, something called hangover, which is a horrible headache in the morning, and you feel sick, bad headache, impaired judgment. You're not able to make sensible decisions. You have very unclear thinking, highly emotionally unstable, and then depression. So you get a lot of people who are in the film business, politics, all of this, where they have to do a lot of socializing, and they drink a lot. And these people have a lot of tendency to depression because of that. So an alcoholic is completely unable to face stress, and his emotional instability adversely affects his functioning. He cannot do his job properly, he neglects or harms his family, he has no interest in his children, his wife, his work, his society, his responsibility, and he neglects himself also. Now, nobody becomes an addict just like that. It's always a reaction to stress and psychiatric illnesses. And that could be that there's already depression, and you start drinking, the depression gets worse. It could be manic depressive psychosis, which is now called bipolar disease. You're sometimes full of happiness and sometimes full of sorrow. This is an illness. Insomnia disorder or anxiety disorder. A main problem, which I think also a lot of BK's experience, is anxiety. Anxiety will push you into some or another addiction. Do we have a traffic control? Psychiatric problems because of stress, because of economic pressures, and because of dysfunctional social systems. So we just take a look at these dysfunctional social systems, One of the things that's happening here is the traditional social systems are disintegrating. The joint family system, the village base is not so much there anymore. People are moving into the cities, into nuclear families and so on. So the extended family, marriage and time-honored lifestyle are disappearing. There's less social taboo about divorce and more acceptance of a broken relationship. Then another big problem is that people overall are spiritually depleted. They can't manage each other, they can't manage problems. And so they have less ability to handle the dysfunctional behavior of other people. They get easily affected. As Baba said in the Murali today, you may be peaceful, but somebody upset person is going to disturb your peace, and you can't stay peaceful because of that. That's an example. And the other thing is the degree of dysfunctionality within families is increasing. You know, maybe some time ago it would be just one person who's in a bad situation, but if you have like half the family members is out of order and half of them are in order, that's difficult to manage. One person out of order, okay, you can manage. So then most people are too much psychologically weak to support each other. What do people want from you? They want time, they want love, they want this, they want that. You can't do it. So then you get affected. Also now there's unrealistic economic expectations. So for men, most of the stress is job related. And then it becomes relationship related. You see, because now many are hoping to move ahead in their careers fast enough to be there when the jackpot of gold comes, and people are in a great hurry to reach the top of their careers. And in the olden times in India, it used to take about 30 years before you reach your promotion, top bit of your promotion. But now people want to do it in 5 years. And it's not going to work. You see in this picture, the small cat sees himself as a big lion, the king of the jungle. But he's not. So when you drink, it deceives you, and you think you are something that you're not. So alcoholism is commonly associated with the delusions of grandeur. He imagines that he's greater than he is. He desires great things, but he is not capable of doing what is necessary to attain them. And he can't handle that. So the alcohol makes you feel like a king for a short time. And then during that time, they act as if their fantasies are reality. And then when the alcohol wears off, you come down. You have a big downer. And then they cannot tolerate the disillusionment and the pain. And so they drink again. And they keep on trying to reproduce the grand feeling that it is impossible. The first time you drink, you feel good. You can never feel that good again, no matter how much you drink. It's a one-time thing. But they always want. And another big problem is the poverty and illiteracy. Partly the people who are in the very lowest economic rungs in India are completely unaware of the dangers of substance abuse, and this especially in rural areas. And when you are at the bottom of the socio-economic ladder, it pushes the rural poor into an alcohol abyss because they feel helpless. They can never come out of it. And I saw in Gujarat, you have a lot of sugar cane. And so what the people who own the factories do is The people live basically in baskets made of sugar cane, big basket that you can live in. And they have to cut 1 ton of cane, and they get 100 rupees for that. And they also get, for 50 rupees, a bag of lowest quality sugar, and they use that to create the alcohol. And then they remain in that condition because they're incapable of advancing. So this is a system to keep people like that down. I think you call it leg pulling here, pulling people down. So now, alcoholism is a progressive disease. And it is progressively destroying a person's will. You know, Baba says he's giving you willpower. And alcohol takes away your willpower. It thrives on the fertile ground of human illusion. It's legally available and glorified in the media, so the consumers remain unsuspecting prey. And the alcohol takes possession of the people slowly and insidiously. So it's very often compared with a devil or a boot. You know, it takes you and controls you and kills you. And the power of the addiction is not realized until it is too late. So how does this normally happen? Typically, a couple gets married, has their first child, and the husband begins his career, and he has a social drink because it's fashionable. Eh? It becomes a way to forget your daily problems, and it becomes routine. And in the early stages, no one is much affected. But as the addiction progresses, the alcoholic's behavior becomes erratic. Erratic means you never know what it's going to be. Then the family starts resenting the erratic behavior, and they demand that he becomes an effective parent and spouse, and that he takes responsibility for being the head of the family. And his unpredictable behavior leads to daily conflicts and problems between the married couple. And these quarrels get blamed as the cause of the addiction by the drinker. So he says, my relationship with my wife is so bad I have to go out and drink to relieve my depression. It's all her fault. And then the in-laws say, yes, she's the problem. And then he comes back and there's another fight and the cycle repeats. By this time, the depleting financial resources intensify the family's hardship, and the wife feels trapped, resentful, cheated, and betrayed. She is then forced to become the family breadwinner. And the husband is not present for his wife or children because he goes where the bottle is or to a party. As time goes on, his conjugal life and his professional life are affected. The alcoholic male is unable to earn due to his addiction. His financial resources deplete rapidly, and out of fear of losing his dominant position, he will often prevent his wife from earning because he cannot endure the idea of his wife becoming the principal earner, and then he brings the family into dire distress. He may regret in a moment of lucidity and clarity and promise to reform, but his will is so weak that he is unable to apply it. His ego is so fragile, he gets so easily hurt, and his marriage degenerates into arguments. Other family members become involved and greater troubles begin. And a lot of the dowry problems is because of this. The males demand more dowry because they're not able to function properly. And then you get the dowry deaths also. So alcohol and work, by this time his consumption of alcohol is out of control, he has health problems, and his behavior is nothing but a reaction to different stresses, which could be very slight or very severe work pressure. He has absolutely no power of tolerance. He is internally empty, and he reacts by drinking even more. Driving. Alcohol affects his ability to drive safely, so he drives recklessly, breaking the traffic rules. He overtakes other vehicles indiscriminately. He is more prone to causing accidents. His impairment is serious. He cannot focus. He cannot judge speed. He cannot judge distance. So many innocent people are injured or killed due to drink driving accidents. Now, the journey to recovery. How do you become normal after that? It is a painful and lengthy ordeal, but it is worth the reward of becoming free from the torture of an obsessive mind. Even so, the starving mind plays many tricks, and the insatiable desire for alcohol relentlessly throws up repetitive thoughts, seducing and coercing the addict that you can only find peace through drinking alcohol again. So what do you have to do? Once you realize you want to stop drinking, 30 days in hospital, detoxification. And in those days, the person is given a fixed amount of alcohol that's progressively less. Usually he is shaking, his mind is full of visions, he sees rats coming to eat him, all kinds of things. It's very, very disturbing. And once you have been detoxified, you need 2 years of professional psychotherapy, because your behavior is completely out of order. You have absolutely no power to do anything. You're completely immature, and you can't handle any kind of disturbance. And you have to meditate and have spiritual practice for the rest of your life, because any time you can go back to the alcohol. And meditation is necessary because the alcoholism or addiction is a spiritual illness, and so you have to have meditation to restore your original qualities and cultivate and sustain them, the purity, peace, love, inner power, and bliss. Om Shanti. So this gives you a little bit of an idea about addiction. You probably didn't know about that before, right? Yes? And of course we covered in this just alcohol and many, many other kinds of addictions. But you see, the body consciousness devices, that's addiction. You see? And the only way to come out of the vices is good quality meditation. And if we do all the meditations that we're supposed to do in a timely manner, you know, if we do 45 minutes of Amrit Vela, if we do half an hour of before the Murli, if we do all the traffic controls, if we do 2 hours in the evening, then we can manage. But how many BKs do that? Just that basic minimum, just for survival. 3.5 hours a day. how many BKs do that. Very, very few. You see. And so service interferes with it. Our relationships with each other involve chit-chatting and this and that. And so actually a lot of time is lost. And so I think that we need to try to aim to create a time schedule where we can actually manage the 3.5 hours of yoga in a day. I was experiencing when we're on tour, a service tour, as a visiting BK, you can meditate quite a lot because you have to sit on the stage for hours. So that's quite good. And you see, most of us, most of the time, do service in such a way that it's very inefficient. And when we do service in an inefficient way, we take a lot more time to do things. Then we have to work later, and we get more tired, and we have less quality of meditation. And when you get tired, you get angry. I see. And if you don't eat at the right time, and you get hungry, then you get angry from that. I see. And if you don't have enough sleep, you get sick and angry. I see. So when you experience any kind of difficulty within the center, you probably find that most of the reason is because of moving away from the balance of the system of meditation. And a lot of it is to do with just not having proper information about administration. You know, if you spend a day with a top level IAS officer and observe how that man or woman operates, it's very efficient because they know how to do things. So I think that our administration, if we make it more efficient, is going to make it possible for us to have it input light. He's departed spirit. we can actually get time. You see, because we have to do 100 million things, isn't it? The life of a BK is 48 hours a day. And so I think the only way that we can get time, because what we need is time from it, the only way we can get time is to be more efficient. And what I also see is our communication skills need to be more more efficient, more professional also. That is going to help us to save time. Because if you know something and somebody else doesn't know, and because of that they do something which they wouldn't do if they knew, you lose a lot of time. And plus you make them annoyed because they say, why didn't you tell me before? Oh, you say, I didn't think it was necessary. So we have, these are dysfunctionalities, you see. And these dysfunctionalities are traditional, they are moral, but they're not very efficient, they're not very useful, and they actually are designed to stop us from succeeding. And so I think we need to begin to challenge some of the traditions that actually prevent us from succeeding. Because many traditions were created for the purpose of preventing success. And the reason is because in the logic world, if you're successful, it's only possible if all these other people are not successful. And this is why you have the leg pulling system, you see. In this thing of leg pulling is absolutely dysfunctional, but it's absolutely traditional. There's a very deep sanskar in a lot of people from generation after generation after generation. So I think probably one of the difficult things is to say, okay, where do we start? Where do we begin? And probably the best place to begin is to create the schedule of meditation. If you have a schedule of 3.5 hours in a day. And it's actually quite possible to do it if you make sure that you don't do anything unnecessary. Because the only thing that disturbs our schedule is the unnecessary thing. And an unnecessary thing has to do with waiting for someone, getting bothered when something's not happening when it's supposed to happen. Very, very few BKs know about how to be on time, because if you're on time, you're the only one. So you don't want to be the only one. So you wait until somebody else is there. So those BKs who are on time, like for example, I observed Daddy Jenki, she's very good at time management. And so if somebody tells her, you have to sit, you have to leave for this program at 5:30, she's sitting in the car, but there's no driver, no Brahmani, no this, no that. And all the other people are late, you see. But she will not wait until they come. She will sit there at that time. She's 90. Right? So this is the thing, I think, one good way, being late is dysfunctional. And mostly people are late because they decide to be late, because it's traditional. You know, it's our Indian standard time, this and that. Okay, fine, no problem. But Brahma Baba wasn't late, was he? And we're supposed to follow Baba, so that being in time is a good thing. See, because if we're in time, then we can plan. If nobody's in time, planning is not possible. Right? So you will try to reach at the last possible moment to catch your aeroplane. So what do we have? Very few aeroplanes are on time. Very few trains are on time. So this this thing of being away from time actually creates all kinds of other things. So to try to bring the self into time is going to make a huge impact on many, many other aspects of the activities and the day and so on. But if you do everything in time, then you can sleep in time, then you can wake up in time, then you can meditate. I see. And if you meditate, you will know naturally, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that, I can't do this, this, that. You will know because you get touching. If your meditation is down, you don't get touching. And then instead of being in the confluence age, you're going off into the iron age. And then you begin to experience the karmic accounts and all of this stuff. And so it makes us, again, inefficient. So this efficiency in administering your own self, your own mind, your own time, your own schedule is a very, very good thing. A very, very good thing, because it brings all kinds of other things into order. And also another thing that really helps to overcome any kind of dysfunctionality is Srimat.
I see.
So when we make it a very fixed program or policy for ourselves that I will follow Srimat, then anything which is against Srimat becomes very obvious to you, very noticeable. And it may be that some other people want to go off and do something against Srimat. No problem. But you don't do it. You see. You can't control any other person's behavior. You can't stop it. But you can control your own. You see. People in Bhakti Marg, they do meditation and they get siddhis. For example, we were in Indore and there was one small girl who had a very peculiar siddhi, and she could pull trucks with her choti, which is a completely meaningless siddhi because you don't need to pull trucks with your choti, you pull trucks with the petrol. You see. So we do meditation and we get siddhis, which you cannot do what we have to do with any other means. And what we have to do with our power of yoga is to control the vices. You cannot do that with anything else except yoga siddhis. Because vices are very powerful. To neutralize the power of anger, neutralize the power of attachment, lust, ego, greed, all the things, you see. So if we don't develop our spiritual power, then we have to try to use willpower, some kind of force. And it's not successful. And this is why within DKs you experience a lot of people trying to exercise control on each other. You see. The other thing that we become interested in is power struggle. Right? Power struggle. And when a person isn't powerful, they have a lot of desire for power. See, if you do adequate meditation and you finish your karmic accounts and you handle all the things using the eight powers that Baba has given, then you become a powerful soul. And you're not hungry for power. So somebody who's hungry for power, it means they're not powerful. Otherwise, why are you hungry for power? If you are powerful, how will you be hungry for power? You're already powerful. You don't need somebody to say, ooh, ah, wonderful Mahatma, thank you. Because you're already connected. Yeah. And so to be like this without desire, without this feeling of need, you know, chaye, 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 hona chaye, nahi hona chaye, all this, the sign of lack of power. And these desires, they are the addictions. The addictions of power, control people, make this happen, not that, or big numbers, or if you don't have this, then you're not happy. No. To use the meditation to make yourself complete and full, and then without any addictions at all, then you are a Jivan Mukta. You're completely free. You can be, as Baba said in the Murli, I think yesterday, you can be a cooperative soul. And when you're a cooperative soul, that means you're a philanthropist, Vardhani, Mahadhani. And from that you experience blessings, isn't it? So this is really, I think what we need to be aware about is we see these things that are negative, alcoholism, whatever, and we think it's out there in the Kali Yuga. I don't have any problem. But we need to actually look inside and see, okay, I'm not that, but what am I? Am I really based in universal values, or am I having lust for power, and am I, you know, handling my anxiety with Toli, or am I, you know, doing all these things which are not spiritual? Because if I'm doing any one of those things, it's because my meditation is less. Not any, no other reason. I see. But if other people is doing that, there is absolutely 100% nothing you can do. And so at that time we have to let go. And Baba says, put it in Baba's hands. It's his problem, not my problem. Thank you very much. If you want to do all these things, enjoy yourself. Have a nice status in the golden age. Not my problem. And it's easy to do that when you know it's a game. And when you know that the most important thing is what you do, not what somebody else does. Because whatever you do, you're creating your drama and creating your karma, or finishing off your karma, whatever it is. So our whole thing is, I have to become free, I have to become powerful internally, loveful, peaceful, blissful, etc. So anyway, this whole value education program puts the things that Baba is teaching us into secular language and into a context of day-to-day reality. If you see the Murlis, Sapar Murlis, Baba has been speaking about a society which is now changed. And so mostly the Murli is addressed to a society which is devotee. And nowadays the society that we work with, while devotion is very extreme in many areas, there's other parts of society that are not principally devotional, but they're highly materialistic. And materialism is really the big problem that we're dealing with. So we have to see also to what extent am I materialistic and make ourselves spiritual and free from the attractions of materialism, because this is Maya, you know. So anyway, do you have any questions? You were here yesterday and you've seen these two. Brother Ramakrishna has copies of the books, and so those can be read. And we do this program in many different formats. So what we showed you yesterday is a format that can be delivered as a one-day seminar. The one that I showed you this earlier on consciousness, as I think good to include in the one-day seminar. We didn't do it because you all came 1 hour late. But anyway, This is another thing. To try to keep to time means it's possible to actually get all the things that we want to get. We can get it done. We can take individual presentations and present them as seminars. You see. We have a plan in Madhuban to make these things on internet as downloadable PowerPoints, as podcasts, the lectures as podcasts, a number of different ways, documents, pictures and so on, because I found that it's very hard for people to read the books. Partly because the English is quite high, but mostly because people are allergic to reading books. And they feel that they don't have time. And the world today is like that, but it's very hard to get time unless you're sitting on a train going for a long way, you know. So, my hope is that some of you may become interested in using some of the value education material for service. The diploma program, it's a 1-year program. And you see, like we have done it all day yesterday, half day today, it's actually a lot of material to digest. And when we were doing the diploma program in South Gujarat University, we did it once a week for 4 hours. And we had dialogues. You see, we weren't able to do the dialogues with you because of shortage of time. But we do have trainings in Gyan Sarovar, and so some of you may like to come and do that and participate in the dialogues. They teach you good ways of negotiation, communication skills, facilitation skills, all of that. And the idea is that people can learn the diploma program perhaps through internet video conferencing, because we're finding that people want to learn these things but all over the place, all at the same time. So it's difficult to physically go there, but we can go there through internet. So this is one way to do it. And many of you have been asking, oh, we want a copy of this presentation. And I'm not going to give it right yet because it still needs some tweaking and some improvements. And the plan is to make these presentations available on CD with all the commentary and music and this and that and the other. So that it's a package that you can have, that you can use, that's going to remind you what's in it, that's hopefully going to inspire you to read the part of the book that's connected with it. These ones that we're able to do probably covers about 7 or 8 pages of a book. And we've got 1,500 pages. So there's lots and lots of material that we don't touch at all in the PowerPoints. It takes too much time. But gradually we will have PowerPoints for all the subjects, and that will really take the whole year to sit and study and work with. But we also have a certificate program, which is 5 days. And that we find is very manageable. We find that DKs are able to take out 5 days, come to Gyan Sarovar or ORC or possibly even here in Shanti Sarovar to do the 5 days program and get the certificate of participation. We also found that people at quite high levels within the field of education or other companies are ready to send their managers or executives or head of departments or college principals, and they're ready to send them for 5 days. And then they also do that program. So this 5-day program seems to be very good. I am interested in people becoming teachers of value education. And so for that, it's good to do all kinds of different formats, the 5-day program, the 1-year program, 1 or 2 days, this and that, so that you become versatile in delivering a number of different aspects of it. But the main purpose of it is for our own personal progress. And I think that it contains a lot of material that people have found is able to help them actually accelerate their spiritual progress. So I think that that's good. Then you'll remember that you did this questionnaire yesterday morning and then again in the evening. So when we do the 5-day program, the questionnaire is about 20 questions every morning and every evening for 5 days. This 120 we devised for a 1-day program that we did in the Department of Business and Industry Management at South Gujarat University. So we tried to put a lot more material into the single day. And then gradually we are planning to create what they call as a standardized test on values, which is going to enable any educational institution to evaluate the level of values of its students or participants. And so that has to go through a lot of, you know, procedures through the universities and so on to get accreditation as a standardized test. But so far what we have discovered is that if you are a BK, you have better values than if you're not a BK. Whether you're a good BK or a bad BK, you're still better. And the reason is, even if you hardly meditate at all, at least you meditate a little bit. At least you know how to meditate. And the big difference is not in how much you know, but in how much you meditate. The actual meditation is the factor that makes a person value-based. And of course the information that is given is quite different from traditional moral science. And so you will find as you study it that you see the difference of the differentiation more and more clearly. And then the idea is for you to be able to demonstrate as a value education teacher what values are, living form of values. And so we're finding that the different educational institutions and other companies and so on are more and more desiring this, and they're starting to come to us and say, okay, give us teachers. And so any of you who feel that you want to develop yourself in this side, I think it's going to help or be one more attribute of the service. And the other thing that this is being used for is the wings. You know, in BKs we have 18 wings, and so one by one the wings are asking for value education training for the members of the wings, and so we're tailoring it to the particular wings. So for example, we have a training for the administrator's wing, and that's going to be a half-day training, you know. We have half day, we have 1 day, we have 2 days, 3 days, 5 days, 1 year, 6 months, like this. All sorts of different combinations. And then the podcasting, I think, is going to be useful for people who've done a little bit of training, that they can just listen on the internet or download and listen on your MP3 player, and then you can just kind of review the material, or you can listen while you go for your walk or anything. Yes, we do have a website, and the website is www.valueeducation.org. What I can do before you go, I can give you all my card, and on that it's got the website, the phone number, the email. valueeducation.org, and that's VALU education, only one E. Yeah. And so if you go up on the website now, you will find a summary of all the books. You'll find a few photos of some events, a little bit of information about the Brahma Kumaris Educational Society, an invitation to it. But we're going to be expanding it so that the audio downloads, new documents, PPS presentations like this is going to be gradually added, so that and then we're going to have a section for, you know, members, coordinators, students like that, so that depending on how much you have done or how much you're involved with it, you get access to greater or lesser amounts of material. And then we will be putting these tests up on there as well, so that people can try to do the course online and gradually